Would you like to take up your Bibles if you have one and open it at the passage we read, Romans chapter 3. I'm going to be preaching on verses 21 to 26, as I said. I'm preaching from the New International Version, but it's very similar in the New King James. I think the New King James has got a couple of extra words in one place, but it doesn't make any difference. So hopefully if you've got a New King James, you won't have any trouble. So Romans chapter 3 and verse 21 is what we're looking at. Paul in this letter, like I said, is putting mankind on trial at the start. Mankind is on trial. Paul has claimed in Romans chapter 1 that the whole of humanity is under God's wrath. He explained in chapter 2 that God's justice is completely fair. And he's rebuked those who are trusting in their own self-righteousness. Now in chapter 3, he concludes the first part of his argument. Paul says there in verse 10 of chapter 3, there is no one righteous, not even one. To be righteous means to be right with God. By nature, Paul says, no one is right with God. Apart from through the gospel, every man, every woman, and every child is wicked in God's sight. Says there in verse 13, the poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. This is what the Bible says about you. You have sinned. You keep on sinning, and you deserve a dreadful, eternal punishment. In God's sight, by nature, you are no better than a murderer. God sees all you do, all the wrong things you do, all the wicked thoughts you have. God sees all you do and he is the judge. You desperately need to prove your innocence, but you cannot. You desperately need to make amends for all the wrong things that you have done, but you cannot. You have no righteousness of your own. You need another way to be right with God. The passage that we're looking at today, Romans chapter 3, is one of the most amazing passages in the whole Bible. It contains the heart of the gospel. The glorious good news is that there is a way to be right with God. Paul says in verse 21, but now, a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. But now, just when the situation seemed hopeless, now, just at the right time, God reveals the way to be right with himself. He had testified about it in the Old Testament, in the law and the prophets, but now he's made it known. The way to be made right with God is not through obeying the law. That way is no longer possible because we've all sinned. A new way has been made known. A way for a guilty man to be right with God. Because you have no righteousness of your own, you must depend on the righteousness that God provides. This is a vitally important message because you have no righteousness of your own. You must depend on the righteousness God provides. God offers to make you right with himself. But this incredible offer raises a number of questions. If our sins are so despicable in God's sight, if God hates sin so much, if we are no better than a murderer in his sight, why does he offer to make us right with him? Does God have to make us right with him? Does a judge have to acquit a murderer? Does he have to forget the charges and let him go? No, of course not. And God does not have to justify the ungodly. Does God gain anything by making us right with him? No. God is completely perfect. He has everything he needs. He lacks nothing. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. Why then does God offer to make people right with him? Firstly, God's righteousness comes by grace. As it says in verse 23 and 24 of our passage, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace. There is no difference. All types of people, both Jews and Gentiles, both those who received the law in written form and those who had it written on their hearts, all people, each one of us, we have all sinned. We have all broken God's commands. We've all failed to do the good things he desired. We have all fallen short of his glory. God lives in inapproachable light. His goodness radiates from his presence brighter than lightning. And this radiance is a representation of his glory. God is perfect in every way. He is perfectly holy. And whenever we sin, we fall short of his standards and we fail to reflect his glory. But God does not leave us in this desperate condition. He offers to justify us. To be justified means to be declared not guilty, to be declared righteous in God's sight. Why does God make this offer? It's solely because of his grace. Grace is probably the most important word in the New Testament. Paul starts all his letters with a benediction of grace. Grace and peace to you, he says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. And he often ends his letters in the same way. Grace is the love God shows to those who deserve only punishment. Grace is the foundation of all our blessings. Grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. And from the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. God overflows with grace. He declared his character to Moses, saying, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, and abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. God is not willing that anyone should perish, but he wants everyone to turn to him and be saved. God's grace is free. God freely chooses to offer his righteousness to those who will receive it. And those who choose to receive it can receive it without cost. Isaiah says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thought. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon him. God's grace comes to undeserving sinners, those who deserve only wrath and judgment, are made right with God. Perhaps today you're feeling far away from God. Perhaps you think that God does not want you to be here. Perhaps you think that God hates you and is only willing to destroy you. Then think again. No matter what you've done in the past, no matter how wicked you've been, whether you've lied or cheated or betrayed, God's grace is sufficient to meet your needs. This is the great message of the gospel. God's righteousness comes by grace. All have sinned. All deserve to be punished. But God offers his righteousness freely to all by grace. God offers his righteousness freely to you by grace. But how can God make this offer? Surely there's an insurmountable problem here. If we think of a courtroom for a moment, we'll see the problem. Imagine a murderer standing trial. The guilty man is in the dock. The case has been proved. There is no doubt that he's broken the law. How can a judge release him? How can he dismiss the charges? If it happened in one of our own law courts, we'd be outraged. We would try to have the judge dismissed from his post. We should even say that the judge should be punished. But not only does God's righteousness come by grace, secondly, God's righteousness comes through Christ Jesus. Look again at verses 23 and 24. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. Redemption means to be released from captivity by the payment of a price, like a prisoner of war is released by paying a ransom, or like a prisoner is freed by the payment of a fine. Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for sin. All the wrong things we have done, all the wrong words we have said, all our careless actions, all the unkind deeds, all these things have stored up for us a debt of guilt that needs to be repaid. And sin so controls us that by ourselves we cannot do anything that pleases God, so that each day the debt we owe grows bigger and bigger. Who can free us from the guilt of this sin? Who can save us from the condemnation we deserve? Jesus lived a perfect life. He suffered in our place, and He has provided a way for our debts to be cancelled. On the cross, Christ died to turn away God's wrath, as we read in verse 25. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. The words sacrifice of atonement or propitiation remind us of the Old Testament. God hates sin, and God must punish sin. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. In the Old Testament, we saw that in Exodus, the Passover lamb was killed and the blood was painted on the doorframe so that the people of Israel could go free. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest entered the most holy place and sprinkled blood onto the mercy seat so that the sins of God's people could be forgiven. And God sent Jesus to become the Lamb of God, to die on the cross, to take away the sins of the world. On the cross, God sacrificed His own Son. On the cross, Jesus bore the righteous anger of God against sin. Jesus cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? He endured the terrors of hell so that we may go free. All the Old Testament ceremonies, all the rituals and sacrifices pointed forward to that one great event when the wrath of God against sin would be satisfied by the shed blood of His Son. And Christ was not executed in a private place. He was led outside the city. He was taken up on a hill and nailed on a cross in full view of all the people. Why did God do this? Verse 26 explains. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time. He did it to demonstrate His justice because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Christ died to demonstrate God's justice. Jesus did not die for His own sins. Jesus lived a perfect, spotless, blameless life. He never lied. He was never rude. He was never angry without reason. Jesus was not like us. We're often rude. We're often angry without cause. But Jesus kept God's law perfectly. He did not deserve to die. He died to pay the penalty for sin. He died to turn away God's wrath. And on the cross, He died to demonstrate God's justice. Do you ever wonder whether God is angry at your sin? Look at the cross. God showed his intense hatred of sin by punishing his one and only Son. Do you ever doubt whether God can forgive your sins? Look at the cross. God showed his boundless grace by punishing his one and only sons for our sins. Christ was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Let's return to our courtroom scene. The murderer stands in the dock. He knows he's committed some terrible crimes. He knows he deserves to die. But the judge declares that he can go free. Someone else has paid for his crime. Someone else has borne his punishment and taken away his guilt. Justice has been satisfied. This murderer can go free. Some people say that it's not right for one man to take the punishment for another. How can God be just if he lets a murderer go free? But who can doubt God's justice or call him to account? God is the Almighty God who made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. God is the Almighty God who sustains the world by his wisdom and power. If God declares that someone is not guilty, who can condemn him? Who can overthrow God's justice or call him to account? If Christ has died to pay the penalty for your sins, God will not, he cannot, demand the penalty for sins a second time. But others say that God sacrificing his own son is cruel, it's barbaric, it's not worthy of the God of love. But they forget God's grace. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. God sent his son into the world not out of cruelty, but out of love. Christ came willingly. He shared his father's plan. He shared his father's love. He died a horrible death. But he was raised to life and he's been exalted to the highest place because he was willing to humble himself. Perhaps God's justice does not make sense to you. Perhaps you are offended by the cross. But there is no other way to be right with God. God's righteousness comes through Christ Jesus. But not everyone will be saved. So finally, who does God offer to make right with himself? God's righteousness comes by grace. God's righteousness comes through Christ Jesus. Finally, God's righteousness comes to all who believe. One thing is necessary to be made right with God. And that same thing is stressed throughout our passage. In verse 22, Paul says, "The righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus." In verse 25 he says the benefits of the atonement come through faith in his blood. And in verse 26 he repeats that God will justify those who have faith in Jesus. If you want to be right with God, you must have faith in Jesus. What is faith? Faith is more than just knowing the truth about Jesus. Faith means accepting Jesus for who he is and willingly taking hold of the righteousness he offers. Grace is the fountain of God's righteousness. Grace means that God is willing to make people right with himself. Faith takes hold of God's offer of salvation and gladly receives it. The judge hands our guilty man a pardon. All that is required is for the guilty man to accept it. Grace caused the judge to write the pardon. The pardon has been sealed with the blood of his son. Faith believes that the pardon is genuine and gladly clutches hold of it. all who have faith will receive eternal life. As John says in chapter 3 and verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And once God has forgiven your sins, once you have been made right with Him, He will also lavish on you all the blessings of salvation. God loves to give good gifts. And once your sins have been forgiven, nothing stands in the way. He will adopt you into His family. He will send His Spirit to live in you. He will renew you, cleansing you from sin and making you like His Son. And one day, He will bring you to live with Him, to enjoy Him for all eternity. Faith is necessary to be made right with God. And faith is the only thing that is necessary to be made right with God. Perhaps today you think you're not good enough to be made righteous. Perhaps you think you need to change somehow in order to make yourself acceptable. But what does our passage say in verse 22? The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus to all who believe. Faith is the only condition. Do you doubt God's word? What does Paul say in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9? Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, Paul says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. The devil often whispers doubts, even to someone who's been a Christian a long time. The devil often says, you're not good enough for God. You're not really a Christian. You're not really saved. But the answer is here, if you have faith, then you are forgiven. Faith means accepting Jesus as your Lord and being willing to follow Him. Faith means turning from sin and trusting in Jesus. But God does not expect you to be perfect before you come to Him. God does not even expect you to be perfect after you become a Christian. This is the mistake people often make. Christ came into the world to save sinners. He did not wait for people to stop sinning before He came to save them. When Jesus healed people, who did He heal? Surely, He healed the sick. He did not ask them to make themselves better before they came to Him. It's the same now. As crazy as it may sound, God justifies the wicked. Even the weakest, most worthless, most despised person, if they have faith, is declared righteous in God's sight. God wants all people to flee from sin. He wants all people to live lives that are pleasing to Him. But God saves you and me whilst we are still sinners. God saves sinners. Even people as bad as you. From people as bad as me. All God requires is faith. Do you believe that God can make you right with Him? Are you willing to accept Jesus as your Saviour and Lord? Are you willing to accept the salvation He offers? Because you have no righteousness of your own, you must depend on the righteousness God provides. God's righteousness comes by grace. You do not deserve it, but it can be yours. God's righteousness comes through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus died so that you can be forgiven. God's righteousness comes to all who believe. So have faith. Because this issue is so important. Because if you have faith, you have everything. And if you do not have faith, you are lost. I want to close today by asking each of you to examine yourself seriously and in the presence of God. Maybe you've been a Christian a long time, but it's still good to examine yourself from time to time. If you're not sure whether Jesus died and rose again, if you're not sure whether your sins can be forgiven, if you're not sure whether you're included in the promises of God, then humbly seek the truth of these things by prayerfully reading God's word. God loves to give good gifts, and faith, like all good things, is a gift from God. God has revealed himself in his word, the Bible. Read it on your own. Or better still, read the Bible with a Christian friend who can help you. Why not this Easter time read through one of the Gospels? Try and find what Easter is really all about. Even if you've heard the story before, read it and ask God to convince you of its truth. But if you already know the truth about Jesus, what is stopping you from accepting him as your Saviour and Lord? I grew up in a church. My parents took me to church, and when I look back, I think I always believed the truth of the Bible. I always believed there was a God. And I kind of always believed that Jesus died and rose again, but I wasn't willing to commit to it. I wasn't willing to bow my knee to Jesus, to turn away from my sin, to seek salvation from him. But following Jesus Christ, it's not a burden. It's sometimes hard, but he will give you the strength you need. Don't let anything stand in your way. Don't let fear stand in your way. Don't let pride stand in your way. I think I was too proud. I was too proud to confess that I needed someone to save me. I was too proud to show my weakness to other people. I was fearful of what my friends and family would think. Don't let any of these things stand in your way. If you're not a Christian today, why aren't you a Christian? Why can't you come to this Saviour? Following Jesus Christ is the way to life and joy and peace. If you're wavering, if you do not know whether to press on and take hold of Christ, or to wait, or to go back, let me remind you that life is uncertain. Today, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. Come to him whilst it's still today, while God still offers his grace. You may not hear God's gracious voice again. If you die tonight, what will happen to you? I want especially to speak to those of you who have been coming to church a long time. Coming to church does not make you right with God. Being baptized does not make you right with God. Being a church officer does not make you right with God. You must have faith. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? Have you submitted to Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord? Do you know the joy of having your sins forgiven? If not, come to him now in prayer. Confess your sins to him. Commit your life to him. There is no other way to be right with God. But finally, if you are a Christian, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, then you have no need to doubt. Do not listen to the evil one when he whispers to you. Do not let your sin trouble you. Spend all your energy fighting against sin. We must fight against sin, but do not think that your sins disqualify you from the prize. The prize is eternal life and all who have faith are forgiven. God Himself is the judge. And He has promised that if you have faith, you will be justified. No, more than that, He has promised that if you have faith, you are right now justified. All your sins have been forgiven. All the ones you've committed in the past. All the ones you will commit in the future. God has demonstrated His justice for the world to see. Christ Jesus has died. And He has risen. The penalty for your sins has been paid. The verdict is certain. You are not guilty. On the judgment day, though you deserve God's condemnation, you will receive His praise. And you will be welcomed into His presence. God has promised, and He is faithful. Christ has died, and He has risen. All who believe in Him are right now justified freely by grace. If you are a Christian, rejoice in God's grace towards you. If you are not a Christian, take hold of this free offer of God's righteousness through faith. Amen.